You need to get There's a Wocket in My Pocket by Dr. Seuss. Great book for kids. They loved it. I referenced it yesterday when I talked about the Bofa on the sofa, but there were other creatures I wish I would have remembered. There was a Zabel in that book. There was a Zabel under the table. There was a Zelf on the shelf. There was a Zink in the sink. There was a Jurton behind the curtain. Yes, there was, but the most dangerous thing, the scariest thing, was the Vug under the rug. That will scare any kid. It's great to see, because you never see the Vug. You see these other creatures, like the Bofa on the sofa. He's just sitting there, this big hairy thing. He's eating a box of chocolates, bonbons. He's an interloper, but there he is, out in the open. But the Vug under the rug, you never see him. Another thing I wanted to follow up on yesterday, if you say that you don't know who you are, if you don't know who you are, I would try to figure out who you are as much as fast as you can. Because a person, and I knew a person like this who would constantly tell me, I don't know who I am. Or when this person put it in question form, it would be, who am I? So if you don't know who you are, then you are, it's an open invitation. It's a welcome mat. It's a borderless country, if you will, to let other people co-opt you. And the other people who co-opt you might not, probably aren't doing it maliciously with any kind of evil intent. It's just natural. It's like a high pressure cell on the weather map that naturally moves into the low pressure cell. It's a matter of physics. Doesn't mean to, doesn't try to. It just, if you present a void, it's going to move in. And you can't blame it if you present an empty slate. Now, applied to the evangel, unless you know what the evangel is, you will let rogue elements enter in, and it will remove your peace. This is why Paul was always praying for the saints to be established in the truth. He was praying for them to come to a realization of the truth in Ephesians chapter 1. He was always sending out his friends, whether it was Timothy or Titus or Epaphras, to check up on the ecclesias where I taught. Make sure they're still established. Because it was so easy to fall away if you didn't have it solidly in your mind. And people who entertain different ideas, different teachings, as I read to you from Galatians chapter 1 yesterday, a different evangel, they're entertaining it because they're not established when what Paul told them. It's not firm in their mind. This is why this broadcast to you today is important. It's important for you to go to concordant.org, read everything you can find there. It's important for you to read my series on Romans. Some things might get repetitive. I don't think too much, but these basics, these foundational things need to be repeated. I'm going to share with you some thoughts of James Corum. He is a friend of mine. I haven't talked to him in a long time. He was probably still is the business manager of the Concordant Publishing Concern. Concordant.org. It's a great place for reading, for material. You can get an online version of the Concordant Literal New Testament, which is the most accurate translation, one of the two most accurate translations in the world. The DeVar translation would be the other one. People say, Martin, why can't I get the Concordant Literal New Testament at my local Christian bookstore? Because I just told you it's the most accurate translation in existence. It's not going to be easy to get. You have to send for it. You can get it from Clyde at studyshelf.com. These are thoughts from Mr. Corum on Galatians. Of course, I'm going to paraphrase all this. And this revolves around some might have thought was a radical thought yesterday, that Paul's evangel has walls. It sounds so exclusive. It sounds so, well, it is exclusive. It excludes everything but what it is. Does that make sense? It does to me. It excludes everything except what it is. And Paul again says, if anyone brings you an evangel other than what we brought you, let him be anathema. Even if it's an angel from heaven, even if we ourselves bring another evangel, how could that happen? Well, somebody could hit their head on a tree. Maybe Paul hit his head on a tree, had some minor concussion, and comes in and starts talking crazy Like, hey, let's go take some turtle doves up to the altar. Let's go see what Peter has to say. I think they're doing the law, or he's drunk or something. It's just like, no, even if we ourselves bring you another evangel, don't listen. Don't even listen to us. That tells you it's not about him. It's not about Paul. Don't even listen to me, Paul says. And I would say the same thing to you. If I ever contradict myself, and the one thing you folks have told me, and I appreciate this, is the consistency of the message. That's not really me. It's just me sticking to the message. The message is it. And I realize that the message has walls, and there's a door in it. There is a door into this walled village that's Paul's evangel. The door is faith. There is a door. But once you get in there, it's a certain thing. The evangel brought by Paul, of course, was not in accord with man. This is Galatians 1, 11 and 12. I've told you this before. Paul did not accept it from a man, nor was he taught it by a man. It came through, quote, this is Paul, a revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, this is the radical thing. Paul received no instruction whatsoever in his evangel, much less the initial revelation of it. No instruction whatsoever from the 12. No instruction whatsoever from Peter. And Peter's the one that the Lord entrusted with the evangel of the circumcision. Paul got no instruction from that man or from any of the 12. In fact, many years later, when Paul, in accord with the revelation, went up to Jerusalem, he had to submit his evangel to the Jews there. Notably to James, to Peter, and to John. In Galatians 2:6, this is important. Paul says this, quote, those of repute submitted nothing. So Paul lays out his evangel, and they were dumbfounded. They have nothing to add to it. They did not submit anything. They just sat there and listened to it. How could they submit anything? But there's nothing in their experience aligned with what Paul was telling them. Now, I'm going to give you now the walls. These are the walls of Paul's gospel. The walls of Paul's gospel. These are its intrinsic elements. These are its foundations. These are the things that you should never cast away. These are the things that you should guard. Paul calls it in Galatians 1:7, you should know this, the evangel of Christ. It was given to him, not by Jesus. This is interesting wording, the evangel of Christ. Christ is not his last name. Christ is his title. And it was given to him by the glorified Christ, not by the terrestrial Jesus who was disguised in a Jew suit. Well, the terrestrial Jesus wasn't a Jew suit, but that was the Son of God, the celestial Christ, disguised in a Jew suit to confirm the patriarchal promises, as Paul says in Romans 15:8. The evangel of Christ, it's the exceedingly good news concerning the sinner's gratuitous justification in grace apart from law. That was a completely new thing. Grace, no law. Remember that. That's important because the circumcision were coming into the Galatians saying, I want you to add a little law. That'll make you feel better. That'll make it look better. You won't have so many enemies who say that you people are a bunch of radicals. You won't even have any of the law. No, it's apart from law. Through the saving work of Christ. Here's Paul, or here's Luke, who's writing this concerning Paul's words, recorded in Acts 13:39. We are saved from all from which you could not be justified in the law of Moses. In this one, Christ, everyone who is believing is being justified. Those are radical words. They're words of Paul, but they're recorded in the book of Acts. I'll say it again. This is Paul speaking. This is the first chapter in the Bible, Acts 13, where Paul comes out with justification. He comes out with it. He was taught it by Christ. Now he's springing it on people. And no doubt the Jews ran home in utter disbelief, utter shock at what this man was saying. From all from which you could not be justified in the law of Moses. You couldn't be justified for anything in the law of Moses. The best you had was forgiveness, was pardon. Your sins were overlooked for another year. That's the best you could do. And you were on probation, basically. You had to behave yourself thereafter. or you would be, you'd start the whole cycle over again. You see, it was a yearly annual cycle. That's not justification. That's, you did wrong. This is what pardon is. You did wrong. You made a mistake. We'll pretend that you didn't. We will cover it for another year. That's what the propitiation means, cover it. They used the blood, cover it. And I don't see it. I don't see anything. Nothing to see here. Don't see your sin. Well, if you're justified, it means you're righteous. You don't have to close your eyes to not see your sin. Well, I'll pretend that didn't happen. You're not pretending something didn't happen. Nothing happened. Because you're declared righteous. There's nothing to be forgiven from. How do you forgive somebody who didn't do anything wrong? I forgive you for what? That's justification. That's how radical it is. You could not be justified in the law of Moses, but in this one, Christ, everyone who is believing is being justified. That's the door I was telling you about. The door is belief, and it has to be graciously granted you by God. This is the thing you're going to get tired of hearing me saying until Jesus comes for us, is that by faith, by grace are you saved through faith, and this is not out of you. The faith is not out of you. It is God's approach present. The evangel is that, here's another quote from Romans 3, 22, 24. I got more to say. I'm going to have to do a part two tomorrow on the walls and Paul's evangel. That's too bad, because on Friday, I was sure I was going to give you a talk called The Scandal of the Evangel. But maybe I have to save that for Monday, The Scandal of the Evangel. That's a good one. It has to do with the snare of the cross. Going to give you more detailed information about the snare of the cross, how to recognize it, how to guard against it in your own life. I'll end with this. Here's the evangel of Paul's. This is one of the walls. Is that, quote, being justified gratuitously in God's grace through the deliverance which is in Christ Jesus. This, being justified gratuitously. This is, quote, for all and on all who are believing. There's that door again. For there is no distinction, for all sinned and are wanting of the glory of God. Romans 3, 22 through 23. For justified gratuitously. Gratuitously means there's no reason for it inside yourself. There's no reason for you to be justified. It comes from without yourself. The justification comes from the death of Christ, taking the old humanity to the grave. The second part of that is the belief in it. That also comes from God. So both things, the enactment of it, the thing that did it, the thing that got rid of your sins, that was apart from you. And the belief it takes to understand what happened at the cross, that also is apart from you. It sounds like a lot of this is apart from you.